Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning.
Barry, do you have kids?
I do. I have a 15-year-old girl, and I have my son is 18, and he's actually just headed off to university.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does that feel?
A little bit weird, a little bit empty at home.
I'm sure. I only have a 7-year-old, but I do think a lot about how I'm going to set her up financially, and I'm really glad that you're here in terms of lifestyle planning and the wisdom that you have. How did you approach the topic of wealth or building financial stability with your own children?
We actually had an interesting exercise recently as Connor was finishing his matric. A number of parents, we heard about another group of parents who had actually done it last year, and they created like a finishing school, okay, of sorts, a layman's version of a finishing school. And you kind of use the parents' talents and interests, and they made it quite fun. And somebody taught them how to change a tire on a car.
Okay.
Somebody else was a brilliant briar, and he said, this is how you braai steak, and this is how you braai chicken, and those sorts of things. I definitely need that one.
Yeah.
Somebody else did wine and just got rid of the ignorance of what they're drinking at the moment. And then of course they all turned to me and went, "Will you do the personal finance area of it?" And it got quite interesting for me, actually, because I was thinking about it, kind of going, well, what will I do? Will I teach them practically how to open up an account?
Sure.
You know, we open up a unit trust account for them, and then I can explain all the different choices that they've actually got, or some of the choices that they would have. Or would they open a stockbroking account and trade, or even a banking? You know, do they have money market accounts or a check account, and whatever? And we actually explain those sorts of things. And then I went, yeah, maybe, maybe not. And then I thought, well, maybe I should do some more real financial planning stuff and talk about retirement funding and pre-tax funding and the power of compound interest. And
sounds thrilling.
Yeah, exactly. I could just see the glaze emerging over the 18, 19-year-olds' faces.
Yeah.
So I then started to really like think about, well, what is wealth? You know, and it just so happened over Christmas, I was reading a brilliant book, which I'd highly recommend. It's called The Psychology of Money by a guy called Morgan Housel. And he kind of talks about people's relationship with money and how really your lifestyle is actually going to knock on and powerfully onto your financial outcomes. And there were a couple of very uncomfortable moments for it, I have to say, personally, reading it. When he started to talk about, you know, when you start to be successful, people immediately rush out and they buy themselves fancy cars or they buy houses or bigger houses, or they kick on to buying toys like boats and different motorbikes and things like that they actually want. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to show their family, their friends and their community, like how successful they've actually been. So they're actually in search of what he described as recognition. Mm-hmm. But two things were quite like startling in reading it was that actually, first of all, that's not wealth. If you're buying things, you are becoming less wealthy.
Yes.
Because wealth is about what you haven't spent.
Right.
And the other thing is about getting recognition. If you want recognition, be kind to people, care for people, have integrity, and people will then respect you.
Mm.
People don't respect you just because you have money.
Mm.
There is a little bit of respect that comes that way, and people are happy to see that you've done well, but that's not real depth of recognition.
And invariably, then we're making the decisions probably out of an ego-based way of thinking, aren't we? As opposed to, really considering what is going to be done with the money going forward.
Yeah. So those decisions are driven in and it's embarrassing to admit this, by ego and a little bit of pride, or at the core of that, and also the world we live in. You know, it's social media. There's a one podcast I listen to called Prof G, mm-hmm. And he refers to Instagram and Facebook and all of those social media things as and he doesn't mind dropping a couple of bombs, F bombs that go with it. And he just describes Instagram. He says it's wealth porn.
Ah.
It's people just putting out their best life out there, showing how great that they actually are. And he says it's awful, and it probably should be banned.
Yeah, yeah. And you're quite right. I'm pretty sure I've seen people stop at fancy cars and take photographs that they don't own. Right, stop next to vehicles that they don't own, have photographs taken, posted to the socials to make it look like they're living a larger than life lifestyle. And it is. It's falsification, really.
Yeah, that's right. And so like when you think of it, and you're thinking of wealth, in reality, it's like building a house. And we need to build the foundations first. And the interesting thing about a foundation is it's only the builder and the owner gets to see the foundation of a house.
True.
But without a good foundation, you're going to be in trouble. So we need to kind of find good habits as soon as possible, and somehow, is it to trick ourselves or to have a higher purpose that we're actually trying to get after, a higher purpose, and maybe it's about like having goals like freedom or choice or living a less anxious life, it's probably the way to go, and always keep in the back of your mind, like in sport. You know, the hard yards are done first, but they're also done out of the public eye. Like if you're in a gym and, you know, nobody's seen that work that's actually going on. Nobody's seen the fact that on a Friday night when everyone else is having a blast of a party, you're at home drinking water and getting to bed early. And the sports people, we can't have both. So somewhere along the line, we've got to make these choices.
What is your definition, Barry, of true wealth?
Well, to me, it's about having choices, and it's about freedom. And it's the choice, when I think of these, when I have this idea of freedom in my mind, and I'm thinking of them, of my daughter being in a relationship, living with somebody in her 20s, and that she realizes to her core that she's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be here anymore. But what is she going to do? Because if she's living from month to month on income and she's spending all that income, she's got nothing to fall back on. And now how is she actually going to deal with this? Sometimes I think of my son being in a job and he's got a toxic boss, and it's a horrible environment, and it's not helping him, and it's starting to affect him. And now, does he have the ability, the confidence, or the wherewithal financially to actually tell this guy to whatever.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was nice knowing you, but I'm out of here. I'm not putting up with this any longer. And the other thing is, you can probably round back on those two and kind of going, well, if you had a good foundation and you had put stuff away and you had something that you could fall back on, it could actually give you the resilience to actually fight for what is right in the relationship or at the work, in the workplace.
Yeah, you would probably feel a little bit more confident in being able to stand up for yourself, knowing that you have something supporting you, right?
Yeah.
And you're not as vulnerable as you would be if you were going from 1 month to the next.
That's right. There's a little bit more to this as well, because life happens and things go wrong. You can be made redundant. You can become sick, or somebody in your family can become sick. There are a whole host of things that are going to happen in life. And do you have the wherewithal financially to actually deal with this? And if you can deal with it, then it takes away this huge amount of anxiety of the buildup of this thing is happening, but I haven't pulled the trigger on it. You know, I haven't dealt with it yet, but can I deal with it? Whereas if you can take that anxiety away, especially if you're sick, it would help you in your recovery.
And there are some schools of thought that feel very much that stress and anxiety cause you to be sick. So if we can stop being anxious and stressful, hopefully we can get through this life without having too many dreaded diseases. You've expanded on the definition of true wealth, Barry. What about the foundation that you're speaking of that we need to build off of? How do we go about setting that up, especially for our kids? Because we are talking about youngsters here.
Yeah, so listening to this podcast, there'll be three types of people listening to it. The first will be people who have wealth that actually have the resources, and they could pick up a quantum of money and place it in an account for their kid.
Okay.
The second is somebody who is about to have a young child, and we often tell people, hey, just put a stop order in your bank account or on your bank account to go into a unit trust and just grow this thing over time in their name. You know, and then there are people maybe like you who's got a 7 year old and you kind of go, well, I haven't done anything so far. You go, don't worry about it. Just start.
Sure.
It's probably the most important factor is the fact that you've actually stopped doing something else in your life, brought down your expenses slightly to allocate funds to that because you want somebody else to have this financial freedom.
And how much would you say we would be putting away on a monthly basis for that foundation to become really solid by the time they are 18 years old?
Yeah. So you know, in the unit trust industry, it's kind of 300, 500 rand a month.
Okay.
And that becomes quite a sizable amount of money later on. So we're not talking about huge amounts of money and huge lifestyle changes. Well, it depends on your income.
Sure.
But they're not huge amounts, and it's doable for most families to do this. But it comes back to making choices of, you know, is this higher purpose of having my children being financially independent and having this independence themselves, is that important enough?
And I suppose to some extent then, as a parent, I have made that decision that I am going to invest in their futures by putting money away on a monthly basis. It's now teaching them, ensuring that they continue those saving habits as well, to be able to teach them to do the same going forwards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very important. So there are two things. Remember, the parents, what we have described so far is that the parents are doing this.
Yes.
The parents are doing the suffering.
Yes.
and the changes for it. So we still have not dealt with how do we get the kids to actually do this. So I think the important, where the habits come in now that they've left home and they're off studying or they've started a career somewhere, is to it goes down to them being stressed in a budget and putting themselves, either putting themselves under pressure by saving the money. So take away, if there are excesses, you can take away and put that on a debit order, because a debit order is a brilliant way of fooling yourself into actually saving the money because you think it's spent, it's gone.
Correct. Yeah, it's no longer in the account. I don't have it there. I can't spend it.
Yeah, because if you think you are going to push the excess, it won't happen. And the second thing is, we see this all the time. Everyone will tell you that it happens to them. Even though you earn more, you just work out a way of actually spending it and eating up that money over time.
Last one then. Barry, what investments have you put in place for your son, for your children? What have you chosen to do and why have you chosen to do that?
Yeah, there are probably two simple options. The first is now I would use a tax-free savings account in their name. You put it, which is then invested into unit trusts, and then you choose a very aggressive mandate. Because why? You're cost averaging in over a very long time. And if it's an equity-based, whether that's local or offshore equity, you should be quite aggressive in your mandate of doing that. The amount of money, as we say, comes down to yourself. And also you might be driven by the unit trust companies themselves as to how much they allow it. And doing that. The other alternative is to use a unit trust.
So he must be pretty excited having turned 18. He's going to have access to this money, isn't he? What rules have you put in place to ensure that he doesn't just blow it all?
So there was a bit of a parenting moment for us, because you realize you were doing this without him ever knowing. All the emails come to us, and you know, it's coming off our bank account and whatever else. So it's effectively, it feels like it's your own account. And then the month before he turns 18, you get an email from the company to say, okay, what's his email address? We need to, he is
make
now
him
the
aware.
Client.
Yeah.
and he has to sign for any changes or anything that's going on in the account. You're like, whoa, okay, this is quite different now. So we set some rules for him. So we said, here is this money. We will carry on for the time being while you're a student. We'll carry on building on this money. But this money is not, we've given him a list of nots.
Okay.
You are not allowed to go on a holiday with this money. You are not allowed to buy a car with this money. You are not allowed to invest in your own company in this. You are not allowed to buy a property, and you're not allowed to put it into your wedding.
So essentially, this money is for those rainy days, those completely out of left field things that come at you.
That's right. You're in a tight spot. You're in a very tight spot, but you're not leaving lifestyle. This is not there to sustain a lifestyle. Later on, if it does very well and you do very well, maybe you can do that later on if you want to. But that's another day's conversation.
I like it. And if I think about the takeaways here, Barry, you really are instilling this idea that true wealth is not what you're spending. It's far more about what's not being seen, what's in the foundation, as you quite rightly say.
Yeah. So in the world that we're in, we all think it's about, you know, wealthy people have all of these things. Now, some people are very wealthy and they do have all of these things and carry on. But for most people, the most people who have to are earning an income and are trying to save from that income, wealth is about what you don't spend.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you. That's good advice. Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth, real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.